You are now listening to the Hack My Age podcast, the show that brings you guests for the woman going through the menopause journey. I'm your host, Zora Benamou, a gerontologist, certified sports nutrition, menopause, and breathing coach. I'm the author of The Longevity Master Plan and the cookbook Eating for Longevity. And if you're a woman in perimenopause or postmenopause, check out the programs on the hackmyage.com website to biohack and optimize your menopause experience, because menopause is inevitable, but suffering is optional. So now please head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify to subscribe to the podcast and leave a review to help others find us too. This is a really important point because it costs nothing, but makes a huge impact for me to support a podcast from menopausal women to normalize this conversation about menopause and attract even more amazing guests to the show for you and for me. Hey there, biohacking besties. If you're navigating perimenopause or just dealing with those pesky menopause symptoms like hot flashes, fatigue, unexplained weight gain, you're not alone. I get it. The struggles with belly fat, crappy sleep, a racing mind, thinning hair, and that all too familiar feeling of anxiety or mood swings. Or maybe you've just experienced those mysterious symptoms like phantom smells, itchy skin, and achy joints. And these are all signs that you may be heading into the menopause transition. Yep, even if you're only 40. And it's not even rare to have these symptoms in your 30s. So just be aware. But here's the scoop. Menopause may be inevitable, but suffering is completely optional. You don't have to just tough it out because it's a natural process that women have endured for centuries. Yes, it's natural, but no, you don't have to tolerate the pain anymore. And that's why I've created specialized menopause biohacking programs just for you. This is not the usual recommendations like get a fan and dress in layers. We are talking about biohacks, which go beyond what most people even heard of to treat menopause symptoms. So head over to the hackmyage.com website and snag the hot flash program or the energy reboot program to hack your fatigue and optimize your menopause transition. And whether you prefer self-guided, affordable masterclasses or fully guided programs with a supportive community of women and me who are facing similar challenges, we have got you covered. Every Saturday of the month, we start a new cohort of women. You get an exclusive 10% off any program with the code HACKMYAGE. So gotta act fast, especially if you want a spot in the guided program, because we keep it intimate with a maximum of 20 women to give you the attention you deserve. So don't let menopause dictate your journey. Let's conquer it together and head over to the HACKMYAGE website now and start biohacking menopause. Welcome to another episode of the Hack My Age podcast. Before we get started, I just want to give a little bit of housekeeping here. I hope you're all well. I want to thank you all for listening, for taking that moment out of your day to learn something new. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast. I know I keep drilling this into you, but on the US Apple Podcasts, for example, because we also have Spotify and other places to rate, but rate wherever you do. But if you look at Apple, we got 49 ratings there. And those ratings do not reflect the rest of the world, but it would be nice to get that number up a little bit. So my goal is let's shoot for next month, 70 reviews. That would be amazing. So thank you to you guys who've already done your part. And if you haven't done it yet, it doesn't take long. Really makes such a huge impact for me. Just getting 21 more people to do the review would be awesome. And we've got over 1,000 people listening to each episode. So hopefully it's not asking too much. And I want to say a special thank you to someone who left a review last month. Her name's Lisa Hoare, and she titles this Master Biohacker. It's really nice. So she said, Zora is extremely educated and goes out of the box to find everything underneath the sun on how to optimize yourself from perimenopause into menopause and beyond. She tries to help women leave a fulfilling and vivacious life. So thank you, Lisa, for that review. Appreciate that. Now, this episode that you're listening to now is a bonus episode because we normally launch our episodes on Monday, but because our guest is launching something that she'd like to share with you to make that date, I said, well, I'll just have to squeeze you in on a Friday. So that's what we're doing. One other thing is, if you are interested in joining us in the Biohacking Menopause membership group, which is a support group for women, women only, we are having our giveaway this month is from Fully Vital. This is a hair enhancing system. I get really good feedback from them since from you guys who have tried this already. And they were nice enough to have a giveaway. So if you join in Biohacking Menopause before April 1st, May 1st, because we're in April right now, May 1st, then you can have a chance to win a kit, which is a serum, and there's a roller, and there's supplements, and there's a hairbrush, and this is a whole system to do. So if you're looking for fuller hair, it's a wonderful thing to try. So I hope to see you in the membership. So with this episode, I wasn't really sure what to expect with Jodi. It's not like I've been following her a long time or I know a lot about her work. I was introduced to her through you, our followers. I think it was somebody on Instagram shared her profile and I kind of checked her out and I was like, very, very interesting. And I was really pleasantly surprised with this interview. And to give you a little background on Jodi, she's 63 and she has her own podcast called Fearlessly Authentic. It's been running for the last 4 years. This is also a live show, live radio show that she does. And she founded her own fitness boutique called Boutique Fitness Studio, I think. It's called Jodi Fit. I think it's in Connecticut. When she was 50, like she started this when she was 50, her own business. So that's pretty cool. And now for the really impressive stuff that Jodi's done. She's a 2-time world bikini champion and the oldest woman to compete in the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. And she's been active most of her life, but really only got into competition when she was in menopause. Isn't that crazy? And she's going to share that story with us too. So her mission really began, 35 years ago. She really wants just to empower women to live authentically and truthfully. That's why her podcast is called Fearlessly Authentic. Even when it hurts, she wants you to be authentic. And she explains a little bit about that too. And she really wants to help women to really overcome those obstacles and just go for their dreams like she did. And even when she was at her lowest, that's dug herself out and she knows how to share with us how to do this. We talked about some heavy topics for her and we revealed some things that you may never would have guessed about her. Really interesting. And she, when she talks about hormone therapy, you'll also be a little surprised how she got through menopause. She talks about how she got through it when she was in the middle of competing in these fitness shows. She shares her opinion on hormone therapy. Remember, she's a decade older than many of us who are in our 50s. She shares how she dealt with menopause weight gain. You really find some golden nuggets here. And lastly, we talked a little bit about how she deals with some of the haters on social media to really be truly authentic to herself and live the way she wants to live. And what I really like about Jodi is that she has a similar passion as mine to disrupt ageist stereotypes. And she's been featured on Good Morning America, Inside Edition, Fox News, and on the cover of the New York Post, People magazine, just all over the place. Maybe you even recognize her. And you can see she's really smashing it. She's got Instagram following of over 360,000 people and to love her and support her. And one last thing about Jodi, she's a NASM, that's National Academy of Sports Medicine, certified personal trainer. So she knows what she's talking about in training and a nutrition expert. So I really think you're going to love this episode. Let's get started. Okay, well, we are so excited to finally have Jodi Harrison Bauer join us today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So some of the women in my community, they shared your profile with me on Instagram and they said, oh, you got to go check her out. She's really cool. And when I took a look at what you're doing, I thought I must have you on to share some of your secrets to aging because you're smashing it at 63. I hope people are watching the YouTube and see how fabulous you look. And you have your own business. You've got your own podcast, your Fearlessly Authentic community. You're busting ageist and menopause stereotypes, which is what I'm all about.
And becoming a model in Sports Illustrated in your 60s, like that's crazy. And I want you to share that story too a little bit later, but I'm now listening to your podcast, binging, listening to all these episodes and catching up.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm catching up on your YouTube channel. And you, as I understand it, you came into your most empowered self right after a divorce, which was in your late 40s,
early 40s, 42.
Early 40s, my gosh. And you were really transforming right, this is right during the menopause transition. And so I'd love for you to share, like, what was this menopause transition and transformation like for you?
Great question, because it is the thing that began to change my life. And I started perimenopause in my late 30s, like around 38. And I had always been in fitness. I've been working out since I was 20 years old. So it's been 43 years since I've been strength training and eating relatively healthy. I amped it up after I had my second daughter at 32 and was never overweight, never did any of those things to lose weight. So I was never running after like a goal of, oh, I need to feel like this or look like this. It was just really my own mindset of how I wanted to feel in my body. And I've always had a very deep connection, mind-body connection. And I think maybe it started when I started dancing at a very early age in my life, ballet, tap, your mom puts you into those classes. Well, I did it until I was 13 years old. And then from there, I was a cheerleader. And so I did gymnastics. And then from there, I rode crew in college for 1 year until I realized I did not like running from, I went to school in Boston. I did not like running from where I lived in Boston, which was, if anybody knows Boston, near Fenway Park, up the street, Kenmore Square, to the Harvard Boathouse. It was a schlep. And I'm like, I'm not a runner. I'm not running to the Harvard Boathouse to row crew. Forget it. I'll do something else. And went back to dancing for a while. But anyway, so I always had this very deep connection, mind-body deep connection. So I started having irregular periods. And at the same time, my blood pressure was going up, and high blood pressure runs in my family. So my doctor told me I couldn't be on blood pressure medicine. I couldn't be on birth control anymore, and that I needed to go on blood pressure medication.
This is when you were 43?
I was 38.
Oh,
And so I was
wow.
diagnosed with hypertension at 38. And my dad has hypertension. My two sisters have hypertension. It's just genetic. I'm predisposed to having it because I've never, again, never have had a weight issue or anything like that. So he said, you've got to go off birth control and we need to get you on medication. So the ex-husband has a vasectomy. I'm not on birth control, but I'm on hypertension medicine. And then my period started getting spotty, like I would miss a month. So I was on a low dose of estrogen and it started to regulate. So I never thought about it again.
So you got kind of, it was hormone therapy. You said low dose estrogen.
Yes.
Was it
Yes. It was actually called,
estradiol or?
no, what it was called, and I can't believe I remember this name. It was called lololestrin. And I think they still prescribe it. Do you know it?
No, but it's so low. It sounds like a low dose estrogen.
Right. It was a very low dose of estrogen. It was okay with the blood pressure medication I was taking. Then fast forward, I get divorced. The reason for the divorce was not because he was abusive, not because he was a horrible person or anything like that. It was, going back to my Fearlessly Authentic podcast, it was that I was evolving into a person that couldn't grow anymore. I wanted to grow more back then in 1998. People weren't talking about growth mindset. We didn't have internet. Well, we had the AOL internet thing, but we didn't have like search engines. There probably was AOL. I don't know. But it wasn't as if people were Googling things. There was no social media. If you had to figure out something, you had to call your doctor or go to the library. So, I just felt that I wasn't turning into becoming the person I felt like I was inside because everybody else around me, my family, my friends, my ex-husband, they expected Jodi to be the Jodi she was at 23 when I met him. And now I'm 38, suffered two miscarriages, have two healthy, beautiful daughters, and I'm not happy. So for everybody listening right now, money does not buy you happiness because I had a very, very cushy life, a life that many women would want. And I walked away from it. And all my friends told me I was an idiot for walking away from it. And I said, there was just something inside of me At the time, my periods were regular, but I was probably going through something, right? Even though my periods were regular, I was definitely perimenopausal. And then at 42, I got divorced and I had to figure out like who Jody wanted to be. You know, I wanted to be this strong role model to my daughters. And all they saw was a mom that went shopping all the time and had new clothes all the time and went out for lunch with her friends and went on trips with their dad. And I'm like, I volunteered a lot, but I was like, I'm so much more than that. But the thing that stayed consistent in my life all the time, besides my unconditional love for my daughters, was working out. I never missed going to the gym. You know, I worked out 5 times a week. That is where I realized how strong mentally I was becoming, just as I was becoming even more physically strong. Again, for the ladies listening, you are in prime muscle building stages in your 20s and your 30s. Please, please, please do strength training, build that muscle now. So when you are going, you are in the midst of menopause, perimenopause, postmenopause, you have that muscle memory. That muscle you build now in your 20s and 30s, you have it forever. You just need to retrieve it because it remembers when to help you. And you have that muscle forever, and that muscle will help you live longer. That muscle, the consistency and the discipline that it takes to go to the gym to continuously build and maintain muscle mass will keep your bones strong, keep your joints safe, and keep you standing up straight, giving you a strong core so you don't fall and you become dependent on others. I didn't know all of those things in my 40s. I was just working out because it made me feel strong. It made me feel good. I had no support system whatsoever. Everybody thought I was ridiculous. I started eating differently. When I was 32, I said, I want to become the fittest woman in my life at 32 after I had Lexi. That's when I learned all about macronutrients. And that's when I started learning the importance of protein. And I would be out with my friends and I would order a salad and I would say, can you put grilled chicken on that? And they'd look at me and they go, they can't do that. I'm like, yeah, they got chicken in the back. They can do that. And so there was nothing like they have now. What protein would you like on your salad? Nobody knew what a protein was. You know, it was a lot going on in my 40s, figuring out who I wanted to be, staying strong. I lost most of my friends in the divorce. They didn't agree with me getting divorced. They thought I was foolish for getting divorced. They didn't understand why I would walk away from a life like that. And they didn't understand why I worked out so much and ate. I was so particular about the way I ate. And then I had a bunch of people. I was always training women. This is the very long story. I was always training women from the time I was 28, was always teaching classes or training women, but I decided to really do it a lot more. I knew I had to figure out, okay, I have to have a game plan. So I got certified with several certifications as a trainer, and I loved what I was doing. And then a few people approached me and said, you should compete in fitness shows. And that's another story. So that's really what gave me my strength. But I didn't realize, because nobody was talking about menopause or perimenopause or postmenopause, I was scared of it. My honest opinion, my honest feelings is that I was really afraid of what menopause was because my mom went through it at 33. So I saw this emotional woman, hot flashes, night sweats. We heard all about it. And I thought, I'm the oldest of 3 girls. I'm going to be the first one who goes through it. And I was scared to death. And so this is what I do when I'm focused on something, blinders on, focused on the goal, and I just keep going. So I just, you know, continue to work out, do what I did to stay healthy for my daughters and continue to be a strong woman for them mentally and physically.
Did you not have any symptoms of menopause?
The only thing that started happening to me was that I had irregular periods in my 40s, but I didn't really start having any bad symptoms like night sweats and hot flashes until my late 40s. And that's when I was really competing heavily on stage. And I won my 2 world shows at 49 in the midst of hot flashes, night sweats, mood swings, and irregular periods. I stopped getting my last period 2 months before my 50th birthday. After that was postmenopause.
Interesting. So you did have some of these symptoms, and what did you do about them? Or you just said, I'm just focused on the goal and winning this championship. And
you know, I continued, I was divorced now. So I was having some relationships. I was dating when my girls were with their dad. I needed to be on birth control. And so the low Lestrum that I was on, I continued to be on because they said that would help with the hot flashes and the night sweats. It helped a little bit, but I remember training clients and like feeling like I had just stepped in a fire, like a hot flash. It's like anybody who's experienced it, right? It's like you walking into a fire pit for a second, and then you want to throw all your clothes off and then it goes away. It's just annoying. It's just so annoying. And it's embarrassing when you're with, especially if you're out there dating and you're having a hot flash, you know, all of a sudden your face gets red and it's like, oh my God, it's so embarrassing. I dealt with it. That's my mentality is I just dealt with it.
Because back then, and it's not, they didn't have the conversation about menopause. You didn't talk about bioidentical hormones with your doctor. The only thing that your doctor said, I mean, did you even have the conversation with your doctor? Like, I'm really having some, struggling with some night sweats, or you just, you know, said, this is part of life. I'm going to get on with it. Didn't talk to your doctor about it?
Yes, I did. The only thing they suggested was to stay on that birth control, and that would help to reduce the symptoms. So I stayed on, and even after, when I was in postmenopause, so after I stopped getting my period, they told me to stay on it. That was the closest thing to hormone replacement therapy that I had. I didn't even know about it. I knew my mom was on something. I think she was like, I remember the word progesterone or something like that. But, and this is what gives hormone replacement therapy a bad reputation, is that back then when my mom was on it, I think doctors were prescribing synthetic hormones, right? Which could cause different kinds of cancer, could cause a heart attack, could cause a lot of things. But now we're talking, we don't do any synthetic hormones. We do bioidentical hormones, which are made in a lab to be identical to the hormones that your body creates. So I've been on it. I didn't start until I was 60.
Yeah. What happened? Why? Yeah. Because you were on probably the birth control is probably like oral synthetic estrogen, which, by the way, is, if you have, I'm surprised because of the doctor with your blood pressure and family history. Well, yeah, predisposes you to heart attacks and stroke. And then on top of that, breast cancer. And that's the old school stuff. And you were on it, and thank God you're off of it now. But what happened then? Why did you wait until your 60s to get on bioidentical hormones?
So I suffered through my 50s. I would say for anyone in their 50s, any of you ladies in your 50s, I feel for you. I am so happy to be out of my 50s. It was emotionally messy. That's where my body started changing a little bit is, you know, I started noticing that I was gaining a few pounds. You know, I was competing heavily from 2007 until my last show was 2015. So I had won the two world shows in 2009 and then competed in a few shows here and there, but I had now had a fitness studio. So it was just, I was in a toxic relationship. I was having a lot of sex. So I was having a lot of sex with this one person, with the person I was in a relationship with for 7 years. And it turned out to be toxic. And then we broke up. But it was, and people who know me would be like, no, you didn't feel that way. But inside, I was still trying to be my most authentic self. But I knew I had to be a certain way around that person. It was a very sexual relationship. But I started feeling bad about myself because here I am, a fitness expert. I'm a two-time world bikini champion. I'm only 52 or 53 now. And I'm feeling like, oh, the scale's going up 2, 3, 4, 5 pounds. And I'm only 5 feet tall. So 2, 3 pounds on a 5 foot person. I know everybody thinks I'm taller.
Yeah, I would say you're much taller based on what I see.
I know. People meet me and they're like, oh my goodness, you're so short. So I started dealing with my own insecurities, but that kept me in the gym more and more and more. And obviously I was training women, but it was just emotional because, again, I was still getting, even though you're postmenopause, you still get hot flashes and night sweats and you're still dealing with mood swings. And there was nobody there to help me with that. I felt it much more postmenopause. So you're in menopause for one day. Everything leading up to that day is perimenopause. 1 year that marks the last day of your last period, the last day of your last period, 12 months, 1 year is when you start postmenopause. So I would say that I felt it more postmenopausally. And so 50s were messy for me. They really were. I felt like I was really up and down emotionally. And I think some of that had to do with that my oldest daughter went to college in 2007, and then my little one went to college in 2011. So I was 50, and I missed her a lot. And I was a full-time empty nester, and I had to figure out my purpose. So my purpose was my clients. And then being in a messy relationship, it just screws everything up with you. You know, it's just, I'm happy to be 63 right now.
A lot of women come to me and they ask me, "Holly, I'm feeling really off and moody and anxious and depressed. And is it the hormones?" And I ask them, "Well, what's going on in your life?" And, "Well, my boyfriend is moving to another country and I just got fired." And I was like, "Well, with or without hormones, that's depressing. Like, it's normal to feel the way you're feeling. So the hormones perhaps could exacerbate the feelings. Maybe you would be able to handle it better, but it's not like it's unusual. It probably has a little bit to do with both." And I always feel like menopause to me is a little bit like waking up in the middle of the night and everything is exaggerated and you're scared or it's a pain or whatever. And then the sun comes up and you're like, "Oh, it's not that bad." And I was like, that's kind of like menopause. It is, yeah, exacerbates it.
It does. It does. It, you know, our hormones are jumping all over the place. It's like when we went through puberty and, you know, you start growing hair and you start feeling different feelings and you start having curves and growing breasts. And now as a postmenopausal woman, you're not, for me, I didn't have to shave as much. My hair was getting thinner. It was just a lot of different things that I know were driven from my hormones, right? But they didn't control everything. I mean, it does control, our hormones control almost everything. But that's what happens to a lot of women is they do get sad. They do get depressed. Yes. Do your hormones play a role there? Yes. Could you be depressed also? Yes. Could you be anxious? Could you be lonely? Yes. All of those things are true. So what I've learned is get your hormones checked first before you go on any antidepressant, on any type of drug first, and find out what your levels are and find out if you are in the healthy range, what it takes to optimize those, and then decide if you're still depressed after that. See if you, how you're feeling. See if you're still moody, if you're anxious, if you no longer have a low libido. I never had the low libido issue, thank goodness. But I did have, when looking back, I didn't realize it, but looking back, I was pretty moody.
This episode is sponsored by Oxford HealthSpan, the creators of my favorite supplement, Primadine. I admit it, I am a total supplement junkie, but if I had to choose only one, it would be this one. And it's because Primadine is spermidine, and this is shown to activate autophagy, which is super important. Now, this is a cellular cleanup and recycling process that declines as we age. So as we get older, our cells accumulate a lot of junk and waste, which isn't good for our cells, our health, nor our longevity. So we need to clean it up. And if you want the research on this, go to oxfordhealthspan.com and you can see all of it, showing how spermidine supports our brain, our hormones, and our heart health. And another great side effect is stronger hair, skin, and nails, but also longer eyelashes. But, you know, the real important reason why I love Primadine is because I have never ever received as much feedback on a product I recommended as I have with Primadine. Literally every week, someone reaches out to me on Facebook or Instagram with an amazing testimonial. And most of the time, it's about improved sleep. And even some of you told me it's reversed a bit of your gray hair too. So I find that totally amazing. So I can honestly say with 100% certainty that Primadine is the best spermidine supplement you'll ever find. And you can try it with a 15% discount by using the code Zora, Z-O-R-A, on oxfordhealthspan.com. Just be sure to get back to me with your results too. Now enjoy the show.
Interesting. Yeah. When I interview women who are in their 60s and 70s, they do have a different outlook. I mean, they compare their menopause transition self versus where they're at now. And they often say, "Wow, Yeah, that was a tough period. And it's so much better on the other side. So
it
you feel
is.
Like there's hope. But how would you say, because why you still wanted to, you started speaking about some weight gain in your 50s. Is that why you started to look at bioidentical hormones? Or I'm not sure where you were leading that to when you started, because you started kind of late.
No, so I still didn't know about bioidentical hormones. Even in my 50s, I thought I still looked good, even though I would gain like 2 or 3 pounds. So I always weighed, and this is not to put a lot of emphasis on what your body weight is, ladies. This is just how I measured my starting point. So everybody has to have a starting point, whether you know your BMI, which is your body weight, it's your
body composition.
Yeah, it's your body composition, but there's see, this is what happens to me lately. This is a bad thing about getting
basal metabolic rate.
Basal metabolic index. Okay, basal metabolic index. And so knowing what your body fat percentage is, knowing what your body weight is, taking measurements, taking a picture, wherever your starting point is, know what that is. So for me, I always knew how much I weighed. So when I saw the weight going up, what I did is I just tightened my food more, because I know that 80% of the way we feel in our body and look in our body has to do with food. So what I did was I tightened up my diet. So I kept, and the older I got, I kept tightening up, tightening up, tightening up. Now, I'm the kind of woman who never felt deprived. I was like, I'm very disciplined. Now I know that most people are not as disciplined as me and are not as consistent as me, but that's what I did for me. And at around 60, one of my close friends who is 10 years younger than me, I noticed that her skin looked really, really good. And she had good skin, but it looked really, really good. And I said to her, what are you doing? And she said, I'm taking bioidentical hormones. And I said, why? You're only 53. Or she, at the time, you're only 50. She had a hysterectomy, so she needed to go on hormones. She's the one who got me started on it. I was like, well, boy, I wish I started when I was 50. Ever since I've been using them, and it's not something that happens overnight. You know, we're at the point now where we're optimizing my levels. It's like anything that is important for you to have. It's not a quick fix. People think that I look the way I look because I'm on hormones. No, I don't look the way I look because of hormones. I feel the way I feel because I've been working out since I was 20 years old, because I've been eating healthy for the last 35 years. And because I've decided to refill the tank when all of my hormones were emptied out. My tank was empty by the time I was 60. I thought it was maybe too late. There is a time period where it is too late. Luckily, I think I got right in there under the radar.
Yeah, there's that window of opportunity that women always hear about. And ideally, yes, this is what menopause societies post. If you're, you know, within 10 years post-menopause, or you know, under the age of 60, you're okay to go. But after that, no. But that's been debunked. There are doctors who are obviously trained in menopause medicine who know how to deal with women. And they would definitely prescribe hormones to a woman if she needs them. They just do it differently. Okay. So anyone who's listening now who's in that category, make sure you find a doctor who knows what they're doing, and there's no problem. It's just sort of one of those statements that these menopause societies make to cover their ass.
Exactly. And you really, it's finding an expert. And so many women ask me, well, where do I find one? So I've worked with this one doctor that works totally virtually. I've never even met him in person. And he's the one who's been treating me. And I've also had a naturopath on my show. Both of them have been on my podcast talking about bioidentical hormones and the importance of balancing your hormones, and how important it is to get a blood panel done when you're in your 20s and 30s, where your hormones should be balanced, you know, fertile, ready to give birth, have babies if that's what you want. But that's why it's great. It's a great time to build muscle. And when I started competing in fitness shows and I was 45, they were putting me up against the 35-year-olds. And I thought, I this is ridiculous. You can't put me up against a 35-year-old. I mean, I won, I beat them, but still, like, there's a big difference between a 35-year-old and a 45-year-old. 45-year-old is probably perimenopausal. 35-year-old probably has not experienced any perimenopausal symptoms, but will be soon. So you just can't compare the two. But I urge everybody listening to please find somebody who is an expert in hormones to test your blood, and see where you are. It's important so you know where you should be postmenopausal.
Yeah, it's always it's a good idea. And when you're still cycling in particular, to know what's normal for you, because once you know, the perimenopause phase for testing is really hard. I mean, you're having a shit show.
You got to do it before that, right?
Yeah. So it's ideal to put it before. So what you know, it's normal, because then when you get into the postmenopause and you're trying to optimize the hormones, if you're on hormone therapy, the ranges could be so large that we're not really sure. One woman, she may be feeling really great at so many picograms of estradiol, and the other one needs way more. But maybe compared to when she was 20 and 30, you can make these correlations. And I think, you know, for many of us, it's way too late because we didn't know about this stuff in our 20s and 30s. But if anyone's listening now or have daughters, get them tested, because it's such a nice to have a baseline, know what's normal for you. Is it on the high end or on the low end or somewhere right in the middle?
Think about every time you go to the doctor, what do? They listen to your heart. They take your blood pressure. They know what the baseline is for normal blood pressure. If you run high, if you run low, listening to your heart. But nobody's doing it for women to check their baseline for their hormones. It's crucially important. I mean, my daughters are 31 and 30, almost 35 right now. And I'm begging them to please get their blood tested and get a panel done, because I want them to know what their levels are right now. So when they're my age, they're optimizing their hormones. They're filling the tank up.
Yeah. And if your daughter, older one, is following the footsteps of you and your mother, then she's going to be entering it pretty soon.
She is.
I'm wondering then, so you've been on hormones for the last 3 years. Have you noticed any changes from before?
I have so much more energy. Nothing. I don't have one ache or pain. I mean, my knees were cracking, but they didn't hurt. My hips, so when I would do a squat, you'd hear, and now you don't hear that. And that's probably from the testosterone. But I have so much more energy. I think that's a huge part. And also lifestyle. I don't have my studio anymore. I'm not getting up and running to a studio and training women all day long. Now I'm in charge of my own schedule. So again, exactly what you said, Zora, at the beginning, like lifestyle, like take everything into consideration. It's never just one thing. It's never just your food. It's never just your exercise. It's never just your environment. Sit back and look at everything and see what you can have an effect on, and then start figuring out how you can make a plan to fix those things in your life. So I would say the biggest thing is that I have no aches and pains, and I have a lot of energy, and I'm sleeping much, much better. I would say the hardest thing for me in my 50s was I couldn't fall asleep. I couldn't stay asleep. That sleep was really hard. And then I'd be up very early in the morning to train people all day, get home, wound up, couldn't fall asleep. And the cycle would just continue. And I knew that it didn't have a good impact on my life. And as far as the weight gain went, I ended up losing the weight and getting back to my normal weight. But I had to work really hard. I had to work really, really hard to lose that weight.
I'm in the Dr. Stacy Sims camp. Do you know her?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
Oh my God, you're going to love her. Okay. There's an interview for you, but you got to follow her, because she's all about menopause for athletes or athletic women. And so she shares a lot of information that isn't circulating around, because what we tend to hear in terms of trends and the latest research, it's often done on people who are not athletic or not going to the gym. They're pretty sedentary. So it's hard to extrapolate some of that information and adapt it to a woman who's athletic or going through menopause. So you're going to really love her. But she's the, I don't even start talking about her, but she's the kind of person, I love her group, because when I found her community, I realized that menopause, and as you age, it's not a time to slow down. It's a time to speed up. You're going to have to work a little harder. I'm sorry.
This is what I've told women, you know, you got to work a little bit harder. It's not the time, not to interrupt you, but it's what I've told my clients is this is post-menopause. It's not an easy time. It just means you have to work harder. And if you're not willing to put in the work, you're not going to receive the benefits. And so many women and men, but since we're speaking about menopause, so many women feel that, well, this is me. I'm just going to give up, because they're not willing to put in the effort to you know, clean up their diet a little bit more, eat more protein, get more sleep, hit the gym a little bit harder. If they don't know how to, that's where I would come in, a personal trainer, a nutritionist. That's where you get the help. That's where you get the accountability. But right, you can't slow down, because what's going to happen? You're going to become sedentary. You're going to become unhealthy. You're going to fall. And then you will lose your independence and be in a nursing home. And
at least earlier than you want to. that's the thing. If you want to avoid that, then it is, yeah, it is tough. And it sucks, because when we lose our hormones, that it just makes things a lot harder. And so what I'm curious, the way I understood it, when you started to get the weight gain, and I'm in your 50s, it's just such a common menopause symptom, is that unexplained weight gain. You're like, I haven't changed anything I've eaten, and I'm exercising the same. And then you found the way, because you've tweaked your diet. That was for you the key, right?
For me, it was tweaking the diet. And I've had these conversations with so many of my clients. Just, you got to get the diet a little bit cleaner, have more protein, eat less of this. Well, I like to have 5 cookies while I'm watching TV at night. Okay, well, the cookies aren't making you healthier. They're not maintaining your muscle mass. And muscle, the more muscle you have on your body, and I'm not talking bodybuilder, I'm talking about the more muscle you have on your body, the less body fat you have on your body. And we all need body fat. So there's a healthy amount of body fat. And they just, and some women are willing to do it. And some women aren't, have the attitude, take me as I am or leave me. This is who I am. This is who I want to be. But the truth is, I don't think they really want to be that way. They just need somebody to help them. They need somebody to help them change their mindset. Maybe they've given up. And that's where I hope I come in, is where to tell them that it's not too late. They can lose the weight, but they do have to put in the work. Just like if they had children, they have to put in the work. They go to work, they have to put in the work. Anything that you do where you want to reap the benefits, you want to get paid from a job, you've got to go to work. You have to put in the effort to reap the benefits. So if this is important, because you know, people will spend money and time where they want, to things, for things and people that are important to them. So if this is important to somebody, they just have to work a little bit harder. And I know nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah, it is. But I do have women, and when I was coaching women through, I didn't realize at the time when they were in their 40s that they were going through perimenopause. And honestly, they were, as either they're lying to me about their diet and their training, but if they're not, something, it's not their diet, it's not their exercise. And so I would dig a little deeper, and then we discover for many of them, they weren't getting the right amount of sleep and they were highly stressed. So we'd work on, actually, I'd tell them to work out a little less, like just don't do those high cortisol activities, go outside in nature and try to bring down the cortisol, do a little bit of yoga, keep doing the strength training, but you don't need to run the treadmill. Like, these are women who running and high cortisol activities 5 times a week, and then on the weekends doing something else that was pretty high too. So I just thought, you know, and then when we'd take down the exercise, I told them to eat more. It's like, you got to eat more protein, you got to eat more fiber, you got to eat, you know, you're not, they were in a calorie deficit and their bodies were just holding on to fat. So I was just like, cortisol loves body fat. And so let's tweak it. And in the end, most of them would, this is what the key was for them. And now that I know about hormones, and we're dealing with women in their 40s and 50s, I'm like, okay, look at your hormones too. That's going to be part of the puzzle. But I really, my heart goes out to those women who really are, to me, they're over-exercising and under-eating because they're so desperate. When you try so hard to lose the weight and you just can't, it's really, really frustrating.
And they're reading the wrong things. They don't understand that those activities are raising their cortisol levels, and they're holding on to body fat because their body's in survival mode. They're doing, you know, excessive cardio, which is raising the cortisol levels, and they're not eating enough food because they think they want to lose, because that's the way they think they need to lose weight. It is very, very sad. So hopefully between the two of us, we can keep educating women, because that's really what it comes down to. That's what my podcast is about, is educating and empowering people to be their most fearlessly authentic self. Because at the end of the day, everyone wants to feel fearless. They want to feel like they are who they truly are in their body. They want to feel like themselves. So that's why education is so important. So women aren't telling themselves lies like, I don't care, I'm just getting old, it's part of aging. No. Let's change that story right now, ladies. Let's change it now. That's not who you want to be. And you don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to tell me, but you can be honest with yourself. And let's stop believing those lies that you're telling yourself. Let's get you to how you want to feel.
Yeah, that's the most important is are you happy? And honestly, for me personally, if they're happy the way they are, like, good for you. Like, I'm just, it's hard enough to be happy, so don't change a thing. But if you're not, or if you're secretly, you know, in denial, then obviously it's good to change. And I'm wondering, I found this YouTube video that was really interesting. Actually, your podcast itself, I was listening to them, and you get very emotional. I feel like I'm so close, you know, it's so hard. It's you're truly empathetic and you're authentic, which is very in resonance with your podcast as it is. And I found this episode where you shared the reasons why you got a tummy tuck. And I was like, there's no way. You're training so hard and you're eating the right things. And that was a moving episode. And I almost had tears in my eyes too, because I think a lot of women can relate to this. And I hear all the time, like, my diet is the same, exercise is the same, nothing's changed. And for you, you know what to do. So maybe you can share a little bit about what that experience was and what, you know, give them the cliff notes on that episode. And they should also go listen to it. I'll include it on the show notes too.
It was a big decision. Nobody in my life thought I should do it. They were like, you look great, you're fit, you know, still weighed 110. The truth is, I went to see about 5 or 6 doctors. My stomach stuck out. It stuck out when I was competing. When I walked on stage, I twirled around a lot. I never did a side pose because my stomach stuck out, even at 15% body fat and 105 pounds. My stomach still stuck out because I had rectus diastasis. My abdominal muscles had separated after having 2 daughters. And I knew they had, it wasn't terrible. Add on loose skin. As we age, my skin became lax, that I had a lot of skin on my belly and my stomach was still protruding. So, and I knew it wasn't my diet and I knew it wasn't exercise. It was that we had to take my abdominal muscles and we had to put them together like a corset and tie them tight like a corset, because I didn't feel good in my body. I stopped feeling good in my body. I started feeling really insecure. I was at my wit's end. I was dieting, trying like diets that I had never done before, like just doing things that I knew weren't right for me. Not excessive cardio, because I hate cardio, but, you know, tweaking my diet more and more and more. And I said to my husband, I can't do this anymore. Like, it is loose skin. It's loose skin, and we need to fix my muscles. We need to fix my abdominal muscles. We need to tie them back together again. And after seeing like 5 or 6 doctors, they all agreed on the same thing, that yes, I do need a tummy tuck. So I did it, and I didn't share it with anybody at the beginning because I thought, oh my goodness, how could I share this? I'm a fitness person. I've been taught people are going to think that I'm cheating, and I don't want anybody to think that, like, this is the way you become fit and healthy. I was already fit and healthy. My weight didn't change after I had a tummy tuck. How many times did I say that on the podcast and online on my Instagram? And I am now living in the body that I feel fearlessly authentic in. I feel that this is representing my body, because that stomach poking out, I had no control over that, but I just finally faced it. And so that's what led me to do it. And then from there, so many women shared their tummy tuck stories. And I found out so many women I was competing against in my 40s had tummy tucks, which is why their stomachs were flat and mine wasn't. And I was always looked at as the underdog. And nobody thought I would ever win because I didn't have a flat stomach. And it wasn't even about having a flat stomach. It was that I started wearing clothes that I like tight fitting clothes. I started getting depressed. I didn't want to go out anymore. My husband said, let's go out dancing. I felt unsexy. I felt unattractive. I felt fat. I knew I wasn't fat, but that's how I felt. I felt unattractive and I wanted to feel good again. So that's what I did for me. And I'm not suggesting that anybody else does it. It's a very personal decision, but I'm very open about sharing the tummy tuck, because I want women to understand that this is what I did, and to help them, and that there are options if you are living a healthy lifestyle. It is not a way to lose weight. It is not a weight loss. And any doctor worth his salt should never do a tummy tuck on a woman for weight loss.
It was very interesting to hear how, and you hear it all the time, whether women do facelifts or Botox or whatever they want to do. When it starts affecting your life and you feel bad, then it's time to do something about it. And I don't think anybody should be shamed for doing this. And I'm so glad you came out, because then you realize how many other people are probably living the same thing.
I did feel a lot of shame. I felt a lot of shame. A lot of shame.
But you felt so much better after.
It took me about, right. And I had my doctor on my podcast, and I just felt like me. And I want women to feel like the woman they want to feel like, and they can. And surgery is not the answer. It's doing the work and then taking it from there, but they can do it. And this was what, after working out for 40 years, this is what I needed to do for me. And my husband was against it. He didn't even support me doing it. He's like, oh, you don't need it. You don't need it. I'm like, I do need it. And then all of a sudden the lights came on again, and I felt sexy again, and I felt attractive again. And I'm still eating the same way, and I'm still working out the same way. It's just now I'm not self-conscious, and now I don't feel the shame, and I share it with everybody.
Yeah, you did it for you, not for anyone else. And that's important. And it made you feel better, because there are people who do these things and facelifts or whatever, tummy tucks, and they're still depressed, or they work out hard and they get the body that they want, and then they're still upset. So sometimes it's not getting the body that you want, but there's something much deeper.
Of course, it's the mindset. That's where it all starts. And with all the women that I've trained who've walked into my studio or that I've trained virtually, it all starts with changing the way they think about themselves and the way they see themselves becoming. It doesn't happen overnight. I can have them doing any type of workout I want them to do that they're capable of doing. But if their mindset isn't there, if they don't want to do this, then it's never going to happen for them. They have to change the mindset first. And I do talk about this on the podcast a lot, about so many people think that it's the workout, but it's the mindset first, and then it's the workout and the nutrition, because they have to work together. You have to feed your body a certain way in order for it to transform the way you want it to transform.
What's one tip that you can give to change that mindset?
Journaling. And I know we've all heard this before, and I am not a big journaler. I was told to journal my whole life, like the last 20 years. And it's really, really hard to write down your feelings on paper. I find that's the best way to do it, but I did. And that's what I found has helped almost every single woman. The women who journal how they feel that day, what they ate. It's initially to have them keep a food journal, but some women are averse to that, and I understand that. So that's my job, to figure out what triggers them, what they feel good doing, and what they're going to do consistently, so I can get in their head and help them. So by journaling their feelings, I could better understand what motivates them. And they could look back and see, oh, on April 3rd, 2024, I felt like this. And on June 3rd, 2024, oh, I've grown so much. And I find that's the best way to start transforming their mindset. And if you like to meditate, it's hard for me to sit still, but if you can meditate in your own way, 5 minutes, I'll meditate for 5 minutes before I get out of bed. That's where I do my best manifestations, and do it then. But think about where you are now and where you want to be in a month, 2 months, 3 months. Don't think even out past 3 months. Where do you want to be in 3 months? How do you want to feel? What do you see yourself doing? What do you see in the mirror? Who do you want to see in the mirror? And it's not about what it looks like outside. It's about what you feel inside. And people feel that, because it's a vibration, it's energy. And you feel it from people right away. You know, I felt it right away as soon as we got on. We vibed, right? We were on the same vibration. And people feel that. And suddenly positive starts coming towards you, and you feel better. And the more you do it, and the more positive feedback you get, that dopamine hit, you go back and you want to do it over and over again. And that's what starts building a habit, a routine, consistency, discipline, all of those things that go into reaching a goal. You know, we didn't just get on here and start a podcast and say, well, I hope somebody listens, right?
Exactly. No, these are great tips. And I have to let you go. My gosh, I think I need you for a part two because I still have so many questions. One last question. So, and I think we can all learn something from this because I see it too in my social media. I see you sometimes defending yourself on social media for making certain choices with your wardrobe and how you look, and or you share your body in a post. And it sounds like you're getting some criticism from the way you look and behave, and you defend yourself pretty well. So I'm wondering what you can share about that, and what can we learn from your experience?
I have never been asked this question, and I'm so happy that you have asked me this question. It's hard. All right. So the whole fearlessly authentic, my whole life, I was trying to be somebody for somebody else, look the way somebody wanted me, whether it was a boyfriend, ex-husband, my parents, my sisters, friends. What does Jodi need to look like so they feel more comfortable? So basically, I dimmed my light for everybody to feel more comfortable. And when I started making more of a presence on social media, I did get some backlash. And so I crawled back inside of my shell and I was like, I'm just going to be vanilla. But that didn't feel like being my authentic self. So I started being bolder. And that's when I felt better about what I was saying to my community. So in responding to them, some backlash that I get, oh, you shouldn't be wearing a dress like that. Oh, why do you always have to show your body? A lot of times I thought about ignoring them. And then other times I thought, you know, Jodi, be brave, be truthful, and be kind, because that's who you are. And that's how I answered them, with kindness and with the truth. And, you know, some people maybe I was like, you know, if you don't like what you see, then stop following me. You know, because some people are just so ridiculous. They're so ridiculous. They were accusing me of not having a belly button. Did you see that one? I was accused of being an alien without a belly button. And it just happened to be the lighting and everything else in a bikini. But I would say that it's been difficult at times, but I wouldn't change what I'm doing, because I think my bold voice is helping a lot of women find their truth and take away the shame that they might be feeling from people in their life that are making them feel bad for what they're doing, how they're talking, how they're dressing, how they're wearing their hair, what they're doing. It's nobody's business but yours. And if this is how you want to evolve and grow, as long as you aren't hurting anybody, you go, girl.
I love that. That's great. Ever since I started Instagram, I noticed that when I show pictures of me in a bikini or jumping, or those get so many likes. And I'm like, but that's so superficial. I stopped doing that. I just wanted to share content and education. And that never gets the likes. And I'm like, well, I guess this is what people want to see. And I'm also looking at people in their 60s, 70s, 80s. Usually they're athletic and they're, you know, running marathons, or they're looking great. And that's what's inspiring me. And like you said, if you don't like it, I guess just go somewhere else, because it could be triggering for somebody. That's not your fault. And it's not your responsibility to take care of everybody's triggers. So I'm glad you're your authentic self, and it's helping me too.
somebody that I have been following for a while is Paulina Porzikova.
Yes.
So she puts out a lot of, you know, sexy posts. And do you follow her?
Yes, I do, because she just had two hip operations, double hip, and I'm considering a hip operation myself.
Yes. And she's, I think, 57, 58. She's in her late 50s.
59.
Oh, she's 59. Okay. And I thought, if she is bold enough to show herself in her underwear and do things like that, then more women need to do that. And I've been doing it for the longest time, but then I got scared. So I coiled in and then I went out. So now I post whatever I want to post in a way that I could help educate the men and women that are following me, because we need to take away the shame of what it feels like to get older, and what age is appropriate to be in a bikini, and what age is appropriate to be sexy. If you want to be sexy, you be sexy until you're 150 years old. It is your choice. And that's what I hope I'm really empowering women to do at any age, but mostly, you know, starting in their 40s, you know, they start feeling a little like, I don't know where I belong. I don't know who am I anymore, you know? And it's important that there are positive role models out saying, you go, you do you.
Do you follow Batty Winkle?
I think I might.
She's in her 90s and she's doing whatever she wants to do and you'll like her.
Yeah, I want to be like her. I want to be like her. And I hope that the two of us, you and I, are both inspiring people to not be afraid of menopause first and foremost, and to take care of your health. And probably the reason I didn't go through menopause until I was almost 50 and not at 32, 33 like my mom was because of my lifestyle. So take care of your health, get your blood panels done, and find out what your normal hormone, where your hormones are. Find out where they are, and so you know what a healthy range is for you. I know we were going to finish 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, I know. I said I had so many more questions. We'll have you on again. So tell us, oh, you got a program coming out and some free master classes. Tell us a bit more about that.
Yes. So the name of my program is called the Hot and Healthy Accelerator Program, where I take women through 6 different weeks of how to get hot and healthy. It's going to start on May 1st. So we're going to talk, I am a no BS person. We are going to talk about everything that's important, none of the fluffy stuff. I'm all about stuff, no fluff. We're going to talk about what foods are important for you to eat, what exercises are important for you to do that don't raise cortisol levels, and also talking about how strength training helps reverse aging, hormones, and embodying the woman you want to be forever and ever and ever. So these will be realistic goals that we will set together that are also sustainable, that you can do for yourself, you can do by yourself. But I'm going to make it easy because there are so many people out there talking about different things. I've been doing this for too long. It's simple. It's not quick, but it's simple to understand, and I'm going to show them how to do that so they can feel hot and healthy.
That's great. So that's coming out May 1st, right?
That's May 1st. And then the masterclass is April 23rd, which is free. And it's for anybody who wants to come. And I will give you a link for you to share to come to that masterclass. And then they can get to know what this program is going to be about in more detail. And I will share some tips with them. And you know, it's going to be very exciting. It's something that I've been wanting to do for a long time. And it's Jody. It's who I am.
Is it a program that's geared towards a woman going through this menopause, like her 40s, 50s, 60s?
It's geared towards women 40 and over. So a woman who might be experiencing perimenopausal symptoms, some weight gain, and is at the point where I was, like in my 50s. What do I do? I'm gaining weight. I don't understand what this feels like to me. What do I do? Their kids might be in school full time. They might have changed jobs. Maybe it's post-divorce, wherever it is. But we both know that by the time you hit 40, stuff starts changing. So I want to help those women because I don't want them to be doing the things that are a waste of their time or money, because I've seen money spent and time spent on things that don't work. There's no quick fix, ladies. So it's, as I said 100 times already, it's hard work will get you the benefits that you want, but I'm going to explain to you how to get there in a simple, easy way.
Cool. All right. I can't wait to see that. I'm going to have links to that in the program in the show notes. And then everyone can find you at Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all Jody Harrison Bauer. Have links
yes.
to that.
Great.
And
thank you.
You got your website as well and your podcast, Fearlessly Authentic. Go and listen
yes.
to that now.
Yes.
And
yes.
catch okay. up and binge listen just like I did. And
it's really fun. It's fun in the fact that if you listen consistently, you will learn something and you will walk away from the podcast feeling empowered by the stories. I love to tell stories if you can't tell. And the guests that I have on are smart and empowering men and women. And I just feel really, really, really lucky to be doing that podcast. And thank you for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much. And before I let you go, do you have any last words for a woman going through the menopause transition?
Do your homework, find a hormone expert, get your blood panels done, find out what is normal for you. So you are armed with all the information that you need before you do start having perimenopausal symptoms. And please work out, please do strength training. And if you don't know how to do that, find a coach who coaches women in your age group and get somebody to help you clean up your diet, because most women are not eating enough lean protein. And protein is what helps build and maintain muscle mass and gives you energy.
Oh, thank you so much. And I'm going to get the recommendation you have for your doctor, because I have a list of how to find a menopause doctor on my website. And I'm, if you're happy with yours, we'll add him or her to the list.
Okay, great.
Awesome. Well, have a wonderful day, Jody. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Zora. Thank you.
Today's episode is sponsored by the Institute of Bioidentical Medicine, which is the authority when it comes to understanding bioidentical hormones. And I just completed their menopause method course, and I am mega impressed. This is a self-paced course designed by Dr. David Rosensweet, who's been treating women through menopause for nearly 3 decades. And I can highly recommend this program, particularly if you're a doctor or someone who is actually prescribing hormones to women for menopause. So make an appointment at iobim.org to see if you're a candidate for the menopause program and ask for a discount with the code ZORA, Z-O-R-A. You're going to learn so much with this program, because menopause is inevitable, but suffering is optional.
You can now watch all of our podcast interviews on the Hack My Age YouTube channel. Some of our guests bring slideshows, so it's really great to have. Every week, there is a new video, so just search Hack My Age on YouTube.com or find the link on the Hack My Age website. Hey, did you enjoy the podcast? Don't forget to subscribe to be notified of all the new episodes and leave a review to help build the tribe. It's a small act of kindness that brings me big benefits and helps others find this amazing content. The best thing you can do is share. Sharing is caring. Statements made on this podcast have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Anything we say or products we mention are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Information provided by this podcast is not a substitute for personal medical advice and not intended to replace a one-on-one relationship with a qualified healthcare professional. It is intended as a sharing of knowledge and information from the personal research and experience of me and my guests.